Like to call to order the Aurora Historic Review Board meeting Tuesday, November 28th at 7 p.m. Stuart, can we have roll call, please?
Sure. Chair Jan Peel.
Here.
Co-chair Julie Sixtill.
Here.
Member Gail Abernathy, not with us yet. And member Richard Goddard.
Here.
And we have no visitors. The meeting minutes consent agenda for October 24th. Do we have anything that needs to be corrected? I just had one thing. Under old business, we're talking about the public right of way. That would be the third sentence. It says Elan Road in the public right of way is out of compliance. It's not really out of compliance. It's not permitted per city or county code. Because it's not a compliance thing for our rules. And it kind of indicates.
Yeah, the sign is compliant. The location is.
The location is not permitted per city or county, whichever one it is, city or county ordinance. The sign's on the public right of way.
The frame sign location.
Yeah.
Or it's just in the wrong location.
Yeah. And then the last sentence. I would get rid of out of compliance again, and I would just say signage in the right of ways on Highway 99 and Ellen Road and at Airport Road need removal.
Yeah, because kind of compliance implies that that's under our jurisdiction.
And it's not.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I found, unless somebody has something else to add. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll move that we approve the consent agenda with the changes that Chair Peel noted.
Okay, do I have that?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Agenda passes as corrected. Okay, new business, Aurora Colony Pub A-Frame. Is there anything anyone would like to comment on?
It's wood frame. Wood is four colors.
Yep.
Yeah. So she's in compliance with the colors.
Okay.
It's a white background.
And the red is
great. The red is fine.
Yeah. Four colors.
Construction.
So it's black. Got red
and black.
Red, black, green, and then the gold for the coffee for the beer mugs. So that's four colors.
Is the one I'm looking at just looks like?
I think. Yeah. I'm not sure that there's
red.
Yeah, I think that the coloring on this is off. That's why I want to make sure if we approve it, we stipulate white, say white background, because this looks gray.
Well, it does state that on her application.
Exactly. So just like kind of reiterate that.
Background white, trim white, lettering black.
And then there's another place where it shows.
I'm not seeing the other stuff. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
other
it's down
elements.
There under other design elements. It says Oregon Lottery red / clover green / foam. From Mugs Gold,
which is what
under
they have
colors.
Right now.
Okay, yeah. It's just not in the picture that they.
No, no, yeah.
Okay, all right. Do I have a motion to approve the Colony Pub A-Frame application?
Well, just so.
Yes.
Question. Just so I'm clear. Just so that since we don't have a photograph, I guess the clover green and foam is just our understanding is it's the same as what they have now.
Yes, and it would be allowed because they can have up to four colors.
Okay.
So
but the reason why what they have now doesn't work is because it's corrugated and not.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so if they wanted to keep the plastic sign, they'd have to go with plain black vinyl letters. And then so they're changing the wood so they can have the four
maybe
colors.
Maybe do the motion as a frame sign with white background and four.
Oh, yeah.
Four accepted colors.
Yeah.
Let's do it that
well,
way.
Well, just read the whole. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I move to approve the sign application for the Aurora Colony Pub, not as pictured as the picture depicts more of a gray background, but we are approving this as a wood sign with a white background, black lettering, and the Oregon Lottery logo, the clover, and the gold for the foam mug.
I have a second.
Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. And we have Curry with us, I believe. Hi, Curry.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're good. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We appreciate that very much.
Yeah, happy to. Thanks for having the Zoom available for me.
You're welcome.
My a couple of other meetings and my commute home much easier. So
okay. Well, I think we wanted to talk to you a little bit about possibility for grants next year and what might be coming available. And then I had a question too, but I'd like to hear from you first.
So for the Certified Local Government Grant Program, we will have a grant cycle. I'm hoping that we will have the applications out in December, but because the federal legislature has not made decisions on appropriations, we try to wait a little closer till we have a sense of what that is going to be like, because that will impact the amount of funding we have to offer.
Okay.
We expect it to be stable. As of now, we expect it to be stable. And so that would be around probably the $12,000 range, maybe as high as $15,000, depending on how many CLGs apply this time. And the grant deadline will be, as always, the last Friday in February. The applications won't change drastically, so you can, you know, use the guidelines to plan. They haven't changed any of the rules as I would like in regard to interpretive signs. So those still can't be, no signs of any kind really can be funded. So that is still a thing.
Okay,
that
my question
has not been changed.
Okay, my question was going to be, we have our National Historic signage coming into town, which has been up for a long, long time, is in very poor condition, and we're missing one. But that would not be something that we could get under a CLG grant.
No.
Dang. Okay.
Perhaps your regional tourism organization might have funding to support that, since that is a tourism thing to promote the historic district. So it might be worth talking to your regional tourism organization.
Okay.
Almost every thought of the idea that council, and they were pretty accepting of it. Like John Burrard wanted to see that as a traffic calming measure, just something that at least slow, because it catches your eye and you're here now.
You're here. This is the historic district. So
I think that the city council would be willing to
help
work with that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that answered my question. Does anybody have anything they'd like to ask Curry?
I just had a question about the timing. So what is the sort of the grant cycle, you know, application, award kind of timing?
So applications are due, as I said, the last Friday in February. I try to process them relatively quickly. It's a non-competitive grant program. So what I am evaluating when I review the application is whether or not it can be funded by the grant. So whether or not it meets the grant requirements, whether or not I think the budget is appropriate for what is being proposed, because we want to make sure that these projects can be completed. Those are kind of the two big things I look for. And if I have questions about it, I always reach out and work with the community to adjust their application to try to get them there to funding. So that my recommendations then go to the Deputy State Historic Preservation Officer for her approval. And then once we have her approval, I start working on the grant agreements. The goal is to have that process happen in March so that the funding, so work can begin April 1st. And then the funding is available through the following, not the next August, but the one after that, August 31st, which would be 2025 in this grant cycle. So it's about a 17-month grant period.
I have a question, please. Being new to the Historical Review Board, I am unsure of what types of projects you like are looking for. Is it beautification, education? I mean, I know what you don't do signs, but are there other things you just have a hard pass no, or what types of things can we ask for?
So the focus has to be on historic properties, but it can be documentation, designation. It could be related to archaeology. We have a lot of communities now who are exploring archaeological resources in their communities. I always encourage public education because you want the community to see the value in these historic resources. Also tools to help your design review process or help staff. So we have funded database development, GIS web mapping, story maps that are online, so that it can be used by the public, but also by staff who deals with the project applications that come in. If we have seen some communities who have issues with folks coming in with designs or proposals that don't meet the standards at all, and so they provide design assistance. So they pay a contractor to be on retainer, and they give a couple of hours of design assistance before they fall in love with a plan that does not meet the standards, to try to alleviate that sort of friction that can happen in the regulatory process. So they offer it, for example, if somebody is, needs to do an addition or some kind of work on their property, they can come in and get that design assistance and be assured that what they come up with can meet the standards. Doing things like structural assessments or preservation plans for historic properties, so the owner can develop a sort of long-term plan for preservation on their property, is something we've seen folks do as well. And then you can do direct assistance, which Aurora did in the grant cycle before this, for properties that are National Register listed, to provide funding to help them do actual rehab or preservation work on their property. So that's some of the variety.
Okay, great.
They did my roof through a grant, and they also did work on Carl's building to help restore the siding. So that's a biggie. All right. Any other
ideas there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you have anything else, Curry, you'd like to share with us?
No, I'm just, if you come up with some ideas and want to talk through them or have me review them at all and give any comments, I'm happy to do that to affirm their eligibility or help find resources to plan for them. So I'm
wonderful.
Certainly available for that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time this evening. We appreciate it. Have a good evening.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.
Positive image. Okay. Positive image. Stuart and I were talking, and maybe this is something that we want to pick up the first of the year, maybe come up with some ideas and how we would implement them, not just say, here's an idea. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, because I know some of my ideas, it's not something that the grant would cover.
Right.
The beautification type of stuff. Because I too was making comments about some of the concerns that like have been had about the Aurora Outdoor Power and the equipment place. And it's just no matter what they do with their inventory, it's still kind of an eyesore over there. And they're a legitimate business in town, and we don't want them to feel like we want them out of our town, right? We want to promote small business.
Right.
But it's kind of ugly, but it kind of goes to the sign idea too. If we can't get new signs, then maybe if we could do some things to at least beautify the area around the sign, where a lot of cities, when you go in, they have some pretty stonework and fresh flowers or, carpet roses or something more to draw the eye. So that, because if the eye is getting drawn to the right, to that signage, the people aren't looking at Aurora Outdoor Power, right? They're coming in and go, oh, look at that beautiful sign. And by that time they have a chance to look to the left, they're already past the sign. And it's kind of telling them, you are now here, and they're looking off to the right, and maybe we'll just take the right, right into, you know, downtown. So kind of beautifying those. And then I was thinking about the right-of-way, the triangle. Wouldn't it be great if we were able to find the funds to put something like a flagpole there?
Yeah, American flag.
And we could have the American flag, and we could have the city of Aurora flag flying underneath it.
Make it a city park, community garden.
You know, just it, and then no sign, and no signs can go there, right? No signs can go there because this is where our American flag is now. It's got a purpose, but I also just think it would be kind of cool. You know, you come into Aurora, and here's this beautiful American flag, and there's a city of Aurora flag flying underneath it. You know, it would be kind of cool, especially if we could add some uplights to it.
Yeah.
So it's lit at night. I mean, I just think
we need to make them pretty, though, because let me tell you, they're falling apart.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get them to wash the signs.
And I know, you know, Mayor Asher has talked about lights, you know, like
the street lights.
Yeah. So it would be really a good idea to kind of also think of beautification projects. Definitely think of something. I mean, if there's $12,000 to be had, we should come up with something.
That doesn't come very far with the lighting project.
No. And it doesn't sound like it's something that she'll do, but I mean,
he's doing something.
Yeah.
Like that,
but explore other way. I know I saw one time, I need to explore it further, but T-Mobile does contributions to cities that have populations of less than 50,000 people. So we definitely, I don't know what the parameters are, but it's, I'm going to look into it because it's worth looking into.
Yeah.
You finding out where's
community brand, yeah. Utilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, is that what you were going to talk about?
No. I was just going to see if we want to take a homework assignment, I guess, and then put something on the agenda for January. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
And just some an idea of what to do to improve our image.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the things that, because if we could do stuff like that and then say, you know, people, wow, that's really cool. Yeah. It's done by the or did that, you know, but as for Curry, I'm not sure if that's for,
well, what we might do is put it out to some of the historic properties and see if there's something that they need to have done. We can maybe help by for the CLG grant for them, but a lot of times it's matching, isn't it? Some of them are matching, because I know the one for the roof was a matching.
This one seemed like
brings something to the table for volunteer work or just hard cash.
Well, I know the museum still needs some stuff, but I think when that was brought up, it was, of course, that was the grant that they got for their roof and stuff. And then if they had wanted to do their stairs, they were going to need to match. That was because of the grant they had. But I wonder, because I know the museum is in need of some repairs still.
Yeah, but most of those are matching grants, and you have to take pictures for the progress and the whole
thing. But
it's really.
Yeah, we'll have to find out, though, because I know like the one that, if it's the same grant, it wasn't matching for the Emma Walk.
Oh, no, that wasn't.
And it's the same. She's talking about the same grant with the same rules. So
it might be depending upon what you're doing, because if you're investing in someone's piece of property, then I think it's like you should
want them to
also. I could find out from Mike Burns what that all entailed, because he had my roof replaced through a grant.
Well, and that would certainly, you know, if there's some of the. Oh, was it? Through, yeah, Mike did, but was it this one?
It was a CLG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know that he owns a lot of the buildings downtown, right? But are there some of them that are individually owned that might need a little bit of something? Because that could go a long way to improving the relations with the businesses and the Historic Review Board.
The museum owns.
Because they have to, you know, comply by our rules. But then if it's hard for them to complain about our rules when joining in when the HRB helped with my stairs and my siding and my
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like this idea of just having a consultant sort of on retainer to help. Like, there was a homeowner I remember, maybe before I even joined the HRB, that came in, was struggling with the remodel project and finding materials that complied with, you know, the code, and, you know, having somebody available that doesn't
can walk you through it.
That say, you know, I'll spend an hour with you and walk through your project and hope you understand what the code says and what.
I wonder how that works though for, because it doesn't, money have to be used by a certain, money has to be used by a certain date too though. So
2025.
It's hard to forecast how much you're going to use that.
And I could use some of that advice for with some of the stuff I'm going to do at my house, but then I wouldn't take advantage of the grant because I'm on the board and I think that would look funny. Because some of the stuff I want to do is going to be external and going to need approval when I start cutting into the side of the Kyle house.
But I tend to think, you know, since it's a fairly limited amount of money, it would be nice
to, I want to put it back the way it was.
You know, sort of allow people to tap into that or to find a project, you know, as opposed to somebody who's like, you know, owns several properties in the community and a large business and probably doesn't, you know, probably can afford to do that kind of a project on
their own. But it doesn't.
Yeah, that's the one I don't want to.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe not the best use of a limited grant opportunity.
Because I don't know if there's other, if there's other ones downtown that are historical buildings, like the general store, and that I don't know if they, of course, is the general store owned by?
The museum.
Yeah, the museum needs help.
Yeah, but they can't match anything. They own the building. Mike owns, between Mike and the museum, there's very few individually owned properties down there. Highway 99 is individually owned, but Bill Pomeen owns that.
But that's not a historic property.
No.
So that
the one next door, that's the residence, could use a lot of help, but he can't afford to match anything. And they own Well Rooted, the museum does. Trying to think who else.
Well, if you want, if this is going to be on the agenda for January, it's also time, I guess, to get a little more connected with what this grant, you know, sort of the parameters of this grant. Think about some ideas.
Do we have a copy of the guidelines from the one Karen did, since she said it's going to be? The guidelines will be similar. So if we're doing our homework, we can actually look at the guidelines while we're doing it. Just to make sure we're not wasting our time coming up with something that doesn't meet the guidelines.
If you're thinking something that would fit within the CLG grant, I mean, maybe you were thinking a project outside of the CLG grant, but I was just connecting the two, thinking this might be a way to brainstorm.
Maybe if we could get a copy of the guidelines, if you could email them to us. Okay, that'd be awesome, because then we could... We're not coming up with something that doesn't even meet the guidelines and then coming here, and because we're going to have to make sure we're meeting those guidelines, because if we're coming to the end of January to that meetings in January, we're going to have to be ready to roll and get the application done before the end of February.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure we're meeting the guidelines with our ideas.
That's why in February.
Yeah.
So there's
perfect.
Yeah. We actually have guidelines. Do we also have a copy of the applications?
I can send out the one that would have had for this year.
Because she said it's probably not going to change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. That would help.
Well, that way, if we're coming up with an idea, we need to know what blanks we need to be able to fill in with our idea. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the museum does do fundraisers. And if they knew that, you know, if they owned property, if they knew that there were money on the table to help them with something, they wanted to match with a specific fundraiser and said, you know what, this is worth, you know, $8,000 or $10,000 or $15,000, and they could match that. I don't know what the match has to be, if it's a,
I think it's 50-50.
Is it okay?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, but I'm.
But yeah, they could do a very specific fundraiser, saying this is for the stairs, and we're getting this much, but we only get it if we raise and did some kind of a.
That might be compelling, especially if they had a list of projects and Curry, you know, could look at that list, or you kind of, you know, partner on something, whether it's a cycle or a future cycle, but some of these buildings really need help. And at some point, that it'll be kind of a do or die, I think. I mean, we'll have crumbling walls. We'll have something go down where it's like, this is so ridiculous that we have to do something about this.
Right.
And my firm might get involved. I don't know, but I don't know where it's going to go, but that might be something to explore, kind of a creative.
Well, I think the museum's struggling. So
the museum's struggling big time financially.
I
wonder if there was they have several buildings that probably need help.
Yeah.
Can we do several buildings under one grant for the museum? Or do we have to do separate grants for each little?
If it's the same institution, I would think it would just be
kind
on
of
one.
Something.
Yeah,
it would be nice if we could combine them.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that's possible.
I think you can do separate projects within the same grant money.
As long as they're outlaid.
Several thousand dollars that we didn't anticipate last year or this past grant cycle. So we would have had to plan something else. If we couldn't have expanded on the one project, just gave it to us, we would have effectively made an entirely separate application as it was. We kind of fit that within the scope of the project, but just made it a little bit bigger. So just work on that one application. But I think we just felt like work a couple of different projects.
Once under one grant.
Yeah. Like every ask for help, multiple projects to split that.
For the Museum of Historic Properties, let's see.
Yeah.
And then we could talk to Jennifer and see what they have maybe in mind that needs to be done. I don't know. It's tough when they can't match them.
They've got a priority list or something like that.
Yeah.
That they've got kind of a roadmap toward.
They don't allow painting as part of it, do they? Painting is not painting buildings.
Oh, murals?
Like the general store.
Oh, just painting. I mean, that's rehab.
The side of the house is a mess where the staircase is.
Painting happened would fall under rehab.
I think so.
I mean,
yeah.
I want to think about
it. Well, and it's preservation because if you don't keep the siding correctly sealed, you're going to have huge issues.
So that might be another thing with the stairs and that side of the building because it's in really poor shape.
Which one was that?
The general store.
General store.
The big pillars.
Okay.
Yeah. If you look at the side of their building, it's.
Does Dorothy own that property?
Museum does.
Oh, museum does. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the one with the stairs that go up the side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Between Karen's building and the park.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing too, we were talking about clarifying Title 17 for things if we're going to do a title change.
Mm-hmm.
Changes to the title while Planning Commission is doing theirs.
Yeah.
You were going to take a look at some stuff.
I haven't. Do you want to put that on the agenda for January?
For January, because we'll all have time to do that.
Okay, and then just prompt me.
And that's a long process. The title change—it's going to take them a while to.
It's not
make
some,
the changes.
I
flagged a few, but I haven't sort of reframed the language.
We can all go through it.
Okay.
And see. There's one thing. I did go to Canby Sign and Graphics, and regardless of what Carl says, our fonts are fine. They do have certain fonts that are more popular. And there's five of them. So this might be something.
But they told her they're all still viable.
They're still all viable font.
Yeah.
I mean,
to me, that's another one. Even if you wanted to sort of use some of that money to clarify the code or develop a resource that makes it easier for people to interpret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like that might be something that within that COG
possibility. Yeah.
Updated so it's a little bit more clear because it seems so outdated when you look at it, it's just whoa, it's just hard to walk yourself through that and try to, nice to simplify it.
Mm-hmm.
Something.
Yeah. This is what I got from Canby Sign and Graphics.
Mm-hmm.
There's two different kinds of white plastic A-frames, and they come in even little sizes and as big as yours,
mm-hmm.
that weighs a ton. But the one on the right has the slats, little slats to slide.
That you can sort of change the insert in?
You can have a two-sided sign. This is plastic. This is vinyl laminate expanded PVC plastic. So they can put the vinyl on this slide it in there, and they can have a two-sided or even a three-message sign if they put it on the sign itself too. So there's a choice, but of course the deluxe is more expensive than the standard. But we need to clarify, because if you read A-frame and you read plastic, mm-hmm. it doesn't talk about black vinyl lettering with that sentence. So yeah. that's something we need to really, because it's new to the
yeah.
whole thing.
You know,
it needs more clarification.
To Richard's point, which I think, or Rich, so formal.
Richard.
So formal, Richard. But we are in an informal meeting. to his point, though, and we couldn't do the buildings and do this, because that wouldn't be allowed on that grant to do a building project and take money, because we couldn't do that with the CLG grant before. They wouldn't allow us to take from, but you can't, it has to be alike. But he's got a really good point. That blue section there, what I think is very confusing about it is that if you want to read about fencing, if you want to read about roofing, no matter what you want to read about, it goes non-conforming, conforming, non-conforming, commercial, conforming, commercial. I mean, it's so, it would be nice if it was broken up. Here's 17.
Here's all the
conforming. Now we go residential conforming, residential non-conforming, commercial non. It would be nice to redo that thing in a way that those yeah. are separated out, because I think that confuses people. Well, no, it says I can do this. Well, no, because you are under fencing, you're right, but you're not seeing those little tiny headings that you're actually looking at commercial, you're not looking at residential, mm-hmm. or you're not, you know, it's, I think it's very confusing to,
I agree, that was
just the public to know that, yeah.
And then
we could actually do it so that when it refers to Appendix A is actually there. Right. So that the fonts are actually in on those blue pages. It's referring to the fonts. Here's the fonts. Here's the, that actually would be where, and it will take money to get that redone.
Because
we'll have someone professionally do it rather than.
Well, or it falls on staff.
Well, yeah. And then we have to pay the city, but I don't know that you guys would have the time to do stuff mm-hmm. like that.
We're needing to do something else with that design guide as well. There was something that was messed up about that. I'm trying to remember what it was exactly, but we needed to do something about that as far as an update.
And it's still not updated with the code changes we actually got made.
Yeah. We don't even have those.
Well, yeah, Stuart gave us
we've got the signs.
Well, we have like an addendum, like a...
Yeah, exactly. But it's not in that yet. So even people reading that, they still don't have...
Yeah, it's
they don't have an updated copy.
No.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah, so like literally everybody in the entire that
has everybody that has a historical.
Well, and see, and that's what we could do. We could not only update it, but then we could make copies and anybody who is in a historic district go deliver them brand new copies, so everybody has one.
Yeah. Does that have to go to the home or to the owner of the building, or can it go to? It wouldn't go to a renter.
Correct. It have to the owner. Yeah.
To the owner.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do something like that and.
Everybody in the historic, the residential and the business district, mm-hmm. we get one. So, mm-hmm. and we did it once before, at least once before, and now it's now with a substantial effort to push this through and get this up to date. And I'd say we get everything that we possibly can done. And I don't know if it's possible to delay this next code change, and if there's anything that might come out of this review that would suggest that we sneak this in and get it done, or if we just
divide it, you mean, like
we could even do it just an ordinance, single ordinance, it's just focused on Title 17 and just do that during the year.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever this gets done, regardless of the timeline that the other is already on, mm-hmm. and kind of cruising to mm-hmm. the finish line here, probably by January, February, if we don't make that, just based on the process that involves the LCD and the notice and the paper,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you know, the publishing that has to take place.
Yeah.
If we miss that, then we can just simply go through an ordinance, I think is how we would do it, and just make sure that we get that and make it happen so that our code is updated accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And we could kind of find, and if we could fit this, I mean, it would be kind of cool if this got fit into CLG funds. I don't know if at least for the all the printing, binding, you know, whatever, if we want
yeah.
to do it.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then even, I mean, if $12,000 is a lot of money. So, I mean, if we could get it, I mean, we could even do the thing where we have if we hire someone to do this, or at least part of it, we could even hand them the paint folders And they could put together whatever kind of computer software has to be put together that could then be uploaded onto the city's website under the historical showing the colors. They could do all that. So your paint colors are available in City Hall or www.ci.aurora. You know, and then they could go straight to our tab and look at the colors online.
Kind of like with what the museum did, where it was something that was just, if they made it all virtual,
mm-hmm.
So that's what they're effectively doing, making a paper copy available, but having the same exact thing, 100% updated.
And then when we have to make changes, so much easier.
Yeah, exactly.
Can be done online.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. That'd be cool. Modernize the HRB, right?
And then whenever we have something that gets updated, I'm wondering how we would do that if we want to eventually just transition to just an online thing where everybody knows mm-hmm. where to go. And
yeah.
That answers all the questions. And mm-hmm. you have to, you know, here's an answer for your goes on.
Yeah, it's just
that, you know.
It just automatically changes.
So yeah.
And we can get away from the paper thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Great ideas, though. I like it.
Okay.
Because Charles is already working with someone, isn't he, about updating the website anyway?
Yeah, that's a conversation. We're getting beyond the Aurora bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll probably be a kind of a first quarter of next year.
Right. So we can have a conversation with Charles and bring him into this and say, hey, Charles, who's your person? Because we are going to get a grant to do our side of things, but we want to work with the same person you're working with to make sure. Hey, Charles. Okay, because he does. Yeah.
That's why it's going a little slow, because I mean, you can only take so much on it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like we're going to get this grant, and so then we'll be able to afford to do it. But we would want to work with the same person doing the city's update, because you don't want two people. Oh, okay. Now here's some else guy coming in who might write his code differently, or get the same person doing it.
We're substantially bringing the code onto that site and finding a way that can more easily
update. Mm-hmm.
By staff and get away from the increasing. It's a ridiculous amount of cost that's bound up in the website and the code
mm-hmm.
combined. And we're looking at getting rid of that, establishing something that can be easily modified internally
mm-hmm.
and for the long term.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still want my paper copy.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah. I am such a paper girl. There's a comfort to that, too.
We probably won't need to do a major overhaul like that's happened over the last few years.
No.
Mm-hmm.
What Karen took us through. And it's such a horrendous amount of work.
Yeah.
We can finish this up here in the next several months and get it, get everything the way it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is something a consultant could work with. We could probably get everything together in terms of, the copy paste
mm-hmm.
and kind of, into an order. The website is going to probably rely on Carl to help with
mm-hmm.
formatting. The idea of it, though, because it should be on as a tendency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've heard about that.
And then breaking that down to the type of structure we're talking about.
That would make it so much simpler.
Well, even for us.
Yeah.
We get an application in. Okay, this is about a conforming. This is Julie's house. This is a conforming residential property. Let's just go straight to the blue pages that say conforming residential.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to weed through and
the home.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. And like four different titles. Okay. Anything else this evening? No. Then I will adjourn our meeting at 7.
We approved above the green sign. I'll go ahead and get the notice of decision out for
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll sign it whenever you have it. Okay. I'm adjourning the meeting at 7:40. I'm going to tell you that.